Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth. Welcome to Balance Point. Starting. I don't think I've started yet. There we go. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth, and welcome to Balance Point. let us begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you and we bless your name. We are so grateful for this time that we can come together to study your word. Father God, we ask for your wisdom. We ask for your grace. Father, we ask that this would be more than knowledge, but Father God, that this might be a life-changing, life-transforming event as we sit here in your presence. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen and amen. Turn with me in your Bibles as we continue our studies in the book of Genesis. We're going to Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to be picking up at verse 10 of Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Now, last time we got together, we left off with a bit of a conflict that was, I believe, resolved in a most godly way. The conflict was between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram. And it arose because both of these men had become, shall we say, very wealthy. And back then, wealth was measured in the amount of livestock you had, how much grain you could grow. And so these men became extremely wealthy, and the land could not support them. And the dispute, the conflict, wasn't even between Abram and Lot, but it was between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. And Abram handled this conflict, I believe, very admirably, in that what he did was he said to Lot, hey, choose. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. And so they were able to separate. And so today, the title of today's message is, What You Looking At? And it's taken from this passage that we're going to read here, beginning in verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all of the land, all of the plain of the Jordan, that was well watered everywhere. Well, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go down towards Zoar. And then Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. And he pitched his tent as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Now, I'm going to actually stop here at verse 13, because here in verse 13, verses 10 to 13, we see all that we really need to see for today's lesson. Today's lesson, I do need to go a little bit further. I want to go down a little bit further, picking up at verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes up now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land, through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Okay, now we have the full story. Title of today's lesson, as I said, is What You're Looking At. And it's taken from the basic idea that what we look at determines what we inherit. How we choose to look will determine how we come out of it. And we have here two ways of looking. The first way of looking that we see is the way that Lot looked. When Abram gave Lot the opportunity to choose, Lot lifted his eyes, but he didn't lift his eyes far enough. What do I mean? Well, let's back up a couple of verses to verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we're brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me, and if you take the left, then I will go to the right, and if you take the right, then I will go to the left." And then the very verse where we jumped in today, and Lot lifted up his eyes. What do we see that's missing here? Well, what we see, first off, is the way that the world operates, and in fact, the way that many of us in the church operate. We receive a promise. We receive a grace. We receive, you know, something, a message, a word. And we immediately, in our own strength and our own wisdom, look up and say, right on, let's rock and roll. What we didn't see happen is this. And Lot lifted up his voice to the Lord, saying, "Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me guidance. Lord, what is it that I should know about this that I don't know? Lord, what is it that I need to do in order to make this come out for your glory and for my blessing?" No, what we see is we see Lot immediately lift up his eyes, and he saw all the plain of the Jordan. He lifted up his eyes, and he saw the world. And that's a problem. That's a challenge that we have as believers. Quite often, God will make us a promise. Quite often, God will say, "Go do thus and so." Quite often, God will say, "Hey, this, this is something for you to do. This is some place for you to go." And then what happens? We go off without having first listened to, or without having first, I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought because I just lost half of my screen. Without having first said, "Okay, God, how do I handle this in a wise way?" We simply go in. We simply roll up. And we don't bother to sit back and determine how the situation can best be dealt with. See, Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the world. And then he went the way of the world. And it's interesting that we get a little bit of a foreshadowing of coming attractions, as it might be. Watch this. First, Lot lifted his eyes, and Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the plain of the Jordan was well watered everywhere. In other words, he lifted up his eyes and he saw that the grass looked greener on the other side. He saw that what the world had to offer seemed to look better than what God was offering. See, there was kind of no reason for Lot to go all the way down into the plain of the Jordan. Because after all, the whole land was before him. But Lot looked down into the plain of Jordan. He looked down and he saw that it was well watered. And being a shepherd, he'd be like, yeah, I can see the wool flying off my sheep right now. There's enough well-watered lawn down there that, man, I can be selling wool sweaters and mutton chops. And isn't that how the world operates? Isn't that how the world operates? How can I get ahead? But see, those things are only temporary because we see a little foreshadowing. That the plain was well watered before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. See, here's the thing. If we choose to look the way the world looks, if we choose to do business the way the world does business, if we choose to do those things in that way, then eventually those things will go away. So the first thing that Lot did was he looked. The second thing that Lot did was he chose. And then Lot chose for himself the plain of the Jordan. He chose. Isn't that the way of all of our downfall? We see something that we desire. We choose to go after that thing. And then we go down to it. And then Lot chose for himself the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. Here's the thing about making that journey apart from the vision of the Lord. We'll often find ourselves surrounded. We find ourselves surrounded by godly people? No. Not by godly people. We find ourselves surrounded by wicked people. And Lot dwelled in the city of the plains, and he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. You see, excuse me. You see, the thing that happens when we try to function in our own understanding. And by the way, I'm not discounting our own understanding. God gave us a brain. And he gave us a brain to do more than grow hair and hold up our hats. But we must also understand that God expects that we will take all sources of input. Not just what we see, what we hear, taste, smell, and can touch. But the input of the whisper of the Holy Spirit, the input of the confirmation of the principles of Scripture. Three foundations: the Word, this written Bible, worship, spending time with God, getting to know God, and by way of getting to know God, getting to know ourselves. And out of those, working in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Lot did not do those things. We don't see those things recorded. And because we don't see those things recorded, later on we're going to see where Lot's going to need to be rescued. Now let's contrast that with Abram. Picking up at verse 14 again, we're going to reread this a little bit. And the Lord said to Abram after Lot separated from him. Here's the first thing that we noticed. Abram said, Lot did. We didn't have, and Abram said, then God said, then Lot did. First thing we notice, the Lord said to Abram. Notice that Abram didn't lead with his eyes. He led with his ears. Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. For without faith, it is impossible. Well, how do you get faith? You have to hear. Abram heard what the Lord said. Abram listened for the word of the Lord. Lot didn't listen for the word of the Lord. Lot listened to Abram. And then Lot went, pew, okay, let's go down here to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's okay to listen to other people. But make sure that before you go, you're hearing from God. Now, if it's from God, you're going to hear the same message over and over and over again from other people. I should know, several times I've asked God for direction, and it's amazing. In fact, the latest time that I asked God for some direction, I asked God for some direction about ministry. A couple of very strange things happened. First thing that was a little strange that happened was that God arranged my schedule so that I could actually listen to certain Bible studies I usually don't get to listen to. The other thing that happened that was kind of a little unusual was there were at least five different Bible studies coming out of three different denominations, spanning two extremes of how one interprets the Bible, that all agreed about the message. And I went, well, now that's unusual. Maybe God's trying to talk to me through these messages. The first step in blessing is hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word by the word of God. And once you've heard the word of God and your faith has grown up, then it's possible to please God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. And what did God say? God said, now that you've heard me, lift up your eyes now and look from the place you are to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Notice the order. With Lot, it was look, choose, go. Abram, it's listen, look, go. He listened to the Lord. The Lord told him to look with his eyes. And what else does God say? While he's saying, look, here's the promise. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. So that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. And then watch the last thing. Arise and walk in the land through its length and width, for I give it to you. You see, how do we stay in the place where God wants us to be? That's what the question is. How do we do the things that God wants us to do? How do we say the words that God desires for us to say? How do we serve the people that God desires for us to serve? Well, if we follow the path of man, we're going to look, then we're going to go, but then we're going to find that we're not in the place that we should be. But if we follow the pattern of God, what's the pattern of God? Listen. Listen for the voice of God. Hear what he has to say. Then obey what he has to say. What's God going to say? God's going to say for us to do something. And in this case, God gave Abram two things to do. First thing that God gave for Abram to do was to look. Look at the land I'm giving you. Look at the people I'm giving you to serve. Look at the place I'm sending you to bless. And then receive. See, Lot looked. Then he decided. And then he took. Abram listened, then he looked, and then he received. What did he receive? He received a promise. What was the promise? Descendants. Remember, at this point, Abram doesn't have any children. And God promises, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. So that if any man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Interestingly enough, this is a promise that still has not been fulfilled. Because we know how many people of Jewish descent there are. We know how many descendants of Ishmael there are. We know how many descendants of Esau there are. So this is a promise that is still yet being fulfilled. Now, the part of Abram's descendants that we don't know is we don't know how many Christ followers there are. There are estimates that are bounced around, but we know those estimates are inaccurate because some of you listening to this audio, some of you watching this video, are in places where it's not safe to name the name of Jesus. And so you're not officially counted anywhere. And so in a way, this prophecy, this promise has been fulfilled. We don't know how many descendants of Abram there are. But we do know this. Because Abram followed after God's way, he listened, then he looked, and then he walked. We're here. We're here as descendants of Abram. Wouldn't it be so wonderful that we could be like Abram, that we would listen, that we would hear the word of God, and then based on that word of God, we would look. And then we would walk in the things that we saw. We have not because we ask not. That was a verse that we hit on a lot in our last session. Father God, we ask that you would speak to us. We want to hear your voice. We know that you love us. But Father God, we want to hear your voice. We want to hear specific direction. Where should we be looking? Where should we be walking? Father, let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, give us ears to hear the voice of our shepherd, the one who loves us, the one who feeds us, the one who cares for us. Father, to you will be all the glory and all the honor and all of the praise forevermore in the name of your Son, Jesus. Now let me tell you, all of us have that opportunity to look, to hear. I'm sorry, to hear, to look, and then to walk. Whether you've trusted Jesus or not, you too can hear the word of God. In fact, you've heard the word of God today. God says, I want to lead you, I want to bless you. I want to make you a blessing to others. But how can you do that if you've never known God? Or maybe you once knew God, you once walked with God, but you walked away. Well, it's simple. The Bible calls it repentance. To have a change of heart. That leads to a change of mind. What's the change of heart? The change of heart is that God loves you and God wants you and God wants to spend time with you and you to spend time with him. The change of heart is that you trust God. And that change of heart leads to a change of action. What's that action? That you will profess and confess God. The word says that if you will believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Remember, I just mentioned repentance. Changing how you believe about God, changing how you believe about Jesus. Well, guess what? You can do that today. You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to see a guru. You don't have to stand on your head for 5 hours. You don't have to go in and suicide bomb something. All you got to do is trust in the one who loved you so much that he died for you. John 3:16, the most famous passage in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but should have eternal. For God so loved the world. For the Father so loved you. For the Father so loved me. That he sent his only begotten Son. And then Jesus loved us so much that he set aside everything that it meant to operate as God. He set aside his prerogatives as God. And he emptied himself. He became one of us. And he let us kill him, to put it bluntly. Why? So he who knew no sin could become sin for us. So he who did no wrong, so that the righteous one could die in the place of the unrighteous. That's you and that's me. I'm unrighteous, believe me. And so, how do we acquire this? Confession and belief. What's belief? Belief is nothing but trust. Do you trust what God has said about you? What has he said? He said, one, he loves you. There's a big starting point. I don't care how good you are, how bad you are, God loves you. You and he loves me. Second thing that God said about us is, we got a problem. And that problem's called sin. It separates us from him. Makes it impossible for us to be with him. The third thing that God says is, I love you so much that I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to send my son, the second person of the Godhead, to die in your place. So the fourth thing is, so you can have the gift of eternal life. That's the belief part. What's the confession part? Confession is really easy. Confession is to say the same thing about ourselves that God has already said about us. And that's those four things that I just pointed out. So here's the deal. If you've never trusted Jesus, or if you once trusted him, but you wandered away, you walked away, this is your time. This is your place. This is your space to get right with God. And it is simple as believing in your heart and praying. You don't have to pray the same words that I'm going to lead you in, but the sentiment, the thought. So let's bow our hearts. Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me even though I fall short, even though I make mistakes, even though I blow it day in and day out. Thank you for loving me even though not only do I make mistakes, but I even want to make the mistake. Father, forgive me, for I've thought wrong about you. I believe that you were an angry God, a vengeful God, but you're really just a loving Father who desires the best for his children. And so, Father God, forgive me. Father, I know that in my present state I can't be with you, but I trust that you sent your son to die in my place, to take my punishment. And I ask, Father God, for the gift that you've given me of eternal life. I receive it. Father, send your Holy Spirit to guide me as I live throughout the rest of my days. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, I welcome you to the family of faith. And God welcomes you to the family of faith. Now, if you prayed that prayer, we would love for you to get in contact with us. And you can easily get in contact with us through one of the means that's up on the screen, and I'm going to blow it up here in a second, and I'm going to leave it down for a little bit for you. You can email us at staff@bounce-point.org, and by the way, it's up here on the screen in the upper, whatever that is, left. You can reach us at our Facebook page. That's balance.cc. You can get us at our YouTube channel or at our Google Plus at Bounce Point Church. Or you can mail us at Balance Point Church at 1998 East Orris Street. That's Willowbrook, California, 90222. That's Balance Point Church, but I can't talk today. At 1998 East Orris Street, Willowbrook, California, 90222, and I'm going to put it up on the screen in a larger size for you. There we go. Hey, if you don't have a church home, you really need a church home. Because the word says that we should not forsake the gathering together with the brothers. And so we would like to invite you, if you don't have a church home, to become part of the Balance Point Church family. And you can do that very simply by contacting us. You can actually go to our worship center, which is located at, and let me get that up for you. Oop. I'm sorry, I'm learning new software today. You can contact us. You can make that happen by just coming to the worship center and leaving and registering in our worship center. Leave good contact information so we can get a hold of you. We're not going to invade your life or anything like that, but you know, we do need to go over the distinctives of what makes a Bounce Point church a little bit different from most churches that you'll ever attend. And so we'll contact you, set up a time when we can just kind of go over who we are, what we believe, why we believe, and kind of why we do things the way that we do things. Because our beliefs are fairly normal, but how we go about those beliefs are what's a little bit different about Balance Point Church. And so we want to have an opportunity to explain those things to you. And if you feel that this is a place that you could make home, we would love to have you come and join us. And now prepare to receive the blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who speak to us and guide us in the everyday things of life. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen and amen.